the best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into our session right here for Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Vasant Basdeo. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the listening public as well.
So what would be the topic for today inside the Lunchtime Doctor?
So today we're actually talking on a topic that is very common and something that affects a lot of women in our lives, and that's on postpartum depression, as well as, you know, talking about the baby blues, as we call it. And joining me is my colleague, psychiatrist Dr. Varsha Nanan, in her expertise to give us a lot more information about this, you know, common illness that a lot of our mothers face in that postpartum period. Dr. Nanan, are you with us?
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon. I'm Dr. Basdeo. And good afternoon to everyone. And again, thanks for having me on. So yeah, postpartum depression is a very important topic. It's very common, and if left untreated, there are lots of adverse consequences to the mother and the baby. So I will start off with a definition of postpartum depression. So basically, this is when the mother experiences a depressive episode within 4 weeks of delivery. So this depressive episode is not just feeling sad occasionally. It has to be at least 2 weeks, where nearly every day, for the majority of the day, the mother experiences depression or losing interest in activities that they usually enjoyed in the past, along with other things like disturbances in their sleep, in their appetite, low energy, poor concentration, and having thoughts of death and suicide. Specific to postpartum depression, this would look like a mother who has no interest in interacting with the baby, a lack of excitement with the baby, who is more irritable, more angry, more crying, persistently depressed, feelings of loneliness. You know, a mother who complains a lot about their inability to manage, who always criticizes herself as a failure of a mother. To some, this might sound delusional. Someone who has difficulty bonding with the baby, withdrawing from friends and family, and worst case scenario, having thoughts of harming themselves or their babies.
Mm-hmm. So most certainly. And, you know, this is something that is very important to us both as family doctors and as a psychiatrist, Dr. Nanan, because, you know, this has you know, serious harms to both the mother and the baby that can have adverse effects. And, is it something that you see often? Is it very prevalent here in Trinidad?
Yeah, definitely. So the worldwide prevalence is about 10%, but it varies according to the population being studied. So usually in low to middle income countries, the prevalence is a bit higher, about 20%. It's much higher in adolescent mothers, about 26 to 50%. In Trinidad and Tobago, the local study showed that about 1 in 4 women suffer from postpartum depression. So that's much higher than what is here. Recent studies done in Mount Hope and San Fernando General Hospital showed that up to 3 weeks postpartum, the postpartum depression rates were as high as 35%. So it's very important to detect early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, you know, this period of what we call postpartum, so just to clarify to our listening public, postpartum refers to that time frame after childbirth occurs and generally lasts about 6 weeks. And, you know, a mother goes through a lot of changes and adjustments in this time because she's now going from being pregnant to not being pregnant. So there's a lot of physiological changes in terms of hormones and her vascular status and things like that, but also a lot of psychological adjustments that happen. And it's important that, you know, we look out for these signs and symptoms in our loved ones, and especially as Dr. Nanan said, you find it more in the younger mothers, in the adolescent mothers as well too. It's more prevalent there. So what causes postpartum depression, Doc?
So no one knows the exact cause of postpartum depression or depression in general, but there are definitely factors that make some women more susceptible to experience postpartum depression. So a risk factor would be if you had postpartum depression in a previous pregnancy, if you were depressed during the pregnancy or being depressed outside of the pregnancy, if you have another mental illness like anxiety or bipolar mood disorder, there's a genetic component. If you have a family history of depression, independent of the above, would be mothers who had a difficult pregnancy, a difficult delivery, those who didn't want to get pregnant, those who had a bad relationship with the child's father, poverty, adverse events, other social stressors, as you was mentioning before, changes in your bodily appearance, and as well the hormonal component, because following delivery, there's a rapid drop in estrogen, similar to what happens in menopause, but in menopause is more gradual. There's also a drop in progesterone, and both estrogen and progesterone are necessary for brain health and regulating your mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. And you know, something that I've seen, it's a transformative time for especially first-time mothers when you are dealing with this whole new life on your hands and responsibilities there. And it is something that can be extremely stressful, particularly if you have other stressful life events that are going on, things like lack of support, you know, from your home environment, your family support, your partners and stuff like that. And especially the body change. And, you know, we have to have open and conversations and to our partners and those there in supporting women through this period as well too, because it's very as I can only imagine, because you know what that feels like. But Dr. Nanan, is there like a way to distinguish, you know, this postpartum depression, which is a diagnosis as you described it, as compared to something like less mild? Because I'm sure there are mothers out there who feel a little frustrated, and when they come to us, they, you know, they tell us, look, it's just some days I feel a little irritable and it's not anything that lasts pretty long and stuff like that, but they're able to get over it. Is there any way to distinguish between the two?
Yeah, so what you're describing is baby blues, which is very common, where worldwide is estimated about 10% of mothers have postpartum depression. Baby blues can occur in as much as 85% of mothers. And this is, and it's mild. It resolves on its own. It usually doesn't last more than 2 weeks, and it goes away with just rest, self-care, support. The difference is that with postpartum depression, the symptoms are more severe. They are more long-lasting. Mm-hmm. It's longer than 2 weeks, and this interferes with your daily activities and the ability to bond with your baby. So the symptoms in baby blues, they are more manageable. They don't really affect your daily living. So this might look, as I said, like occasionally your mother, soon after birth, for no obvious reason, might feel teary or might start to cry, but then she's able to feel better shortly after. Versus postpartum depression, like that mother would have overwhelming sadness. It would be more prolonged crying without any periods of relief. You know, it's normal after delivery for mothers to experience occasional anxiety about the baby's well-being, but they generally feel hopeful. You know, it's normal to have mild worries about motherhood, your new responsibilities, but you generally feel capable. But with postpartum depression, they would experience intense and persistent anxiety, usually with panic attacks, and they would constantly worry. And they may also experience like pervasive hopelessness, worthlessness, feeling inadequate as a mother. It's normal following delivery with the lack of sleep for a mother to experience mood swings, but these mood swings and baby blues, they are manageable. And in between the low feelings, there will be feelings of happiness, versus in postpartum depression, those mood swings are more severe and they tend to dominate the entire day with little to no feelings of happiness or contentment. You know, and with baby blues, there might be mild irritability, but it doesn't significantly interfere with your interactions or your ability to bond with your baby. But it's not the case with postpartum depression. That would affect your relationships and your daily activities. With baby blues, it's normal to feel tired, normal to feel overwhelmed, but you're still able to find joy and connection with the baby. You're still able to get out of bed and, you know, do things to take care of the baby and get through your day. Versus postpartum depression, there's difficulty getting out of bed. It's difficult to attend to the baby. The mother mightn't even feel interested in attending to the baby's needs. Difficulty bonding with the baby, feeling detached from the baby, and may even experience negative feelings towards the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right, folks, I need to take a little break sure. There, folks, so we could come back. We need to take a little break and we come back, right? Right, of course, you'll listen to the Lunchtime Doctor Friends, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sankit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. 21 minutes now after 12. Remember, LSA Healthcare Services Limited, commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com, social media pages on Facebook, IG and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. Also exciting times ahead at the Caribbean Investment Forum 2024, live from Georgetown, Guyana. Join Freedom 106.5 FM and sister station Nix 90.1 FM in Guyana for coverage and updates and highlights with Jody White. Panels featuring international and regional experts will transform the Caribbean, focusing on sustainable agriculture, technology, and innovation, and the green economy. Don't miss these insightful discussions from July 10th to the 12th in Guyana, and be part of the transformation right here on Freedom 106.5. We're coming back.
Join Freedom 106.5 FM live at the Trade and Investment Convention 2024, July 11th to July 13th at Bougainvillea Hall and Terenia Hall, Center of Excellence, Mokoya. Live interviews, social media updates, photos, videos, Freedom 106.5 FM will cover it all. High quality products from around the world, multi-sectoral exhibits from 200 companies, local, regional, and international, webinars and seminars on various business related topics, and much more. Follow Freedom 106.5 FM. We're broadcasting live with social media updates at the Trade and Investment Convention 2024, July 11th to July 13th at Bougainvillea Hall and Terenia Hall, Center of Excellence, Mokoya. Sponsored by Do More Enterprises Limited, Burmax CNG, the Tobago House of Assembly, NGC Green, Roof Systems Limited.
Yeah, so we're back. Take it up. We're talking about postpartum depression today. I have a question in there about it. Somebody was asking, does a hormonal imbalance causes this?
Yeah, a hormonal imbalance following the delivery could contribute to postpartum depression. It's not the sole cause of it, because not everyone who has hormonal imbalances following delivery would experience postpartum depression, but that in a combination with other contributing factors could lead to development of postpartum depression. Changes in the estrogen, the progesterone, there's a sudden drop following delivery. So yes, certainly there's an association with the hormonal changes.
All right, and what will make some situations go from more drastic to the others? You know, nobody really expects for a mother to really harm her newborn, you know, but sometimes that does happen. But what are some of the signs to look for?
Well, the signs to look for would be, you know, someone who just has a change in their behavior. You know, people who live with this person, they would notice this. So from something that might be as mild as, you know, not interacting as much, keeping to themselves, not keeping up with their social connections and the things that they enjoy doing, to things like not sleeping as well or sleeping too much, or changes in their weight, changes in their appetite. You know, they might start to complain a little bit more. And as I was saying, like, this complaining could sound delusional, feeling guilty, saying that they are not good mothers, that they are failure. You know, childbirth is normally like a joyous occasion, But some others with postpartum depression, you know, they do seem interested, excited. They may not have any interest in bonding with the baby. You know, not just like being disinterested with the baby, but some others, they begin to have thoughts, and this is on the more severe end of the spectrum, thoughts to harm the baby. Sometimes depression could become so severe, especially if left untreated, that the mother starts to hear voices, command hallucinations, telling her to harm the baby, or starting to believe that the baby is possessed. So these are all the reasons why it's so important to get this treated.
Yeah, and I just want to make a plug there that is important for everyone else to always check in on, like, you know, newborn, first-time mothers especially, particularly those in circumstances where the support and the resources may not be there, because that's a big contributing factor to worsening of, you know, the spectrum in a sense. And ensuring that, look, we check in on a friend or a neighbor or family who would have had a baby. Everybody just assumes that having a baby means that you're supposed to automatically feel joyous and excited and these things like that. And it can be viewed with a lot of stigma and judgment by people. But we have to be understanding that, look, these are things, physical changes, hormonal changes, so many emotional factors, genetics, environmental factors at play in the lives of both our mothers and their newborns.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very important because besides the fact that this is so prevalent, if left untreated, you know, depression in pregnancy alone is associated with mothers not complying with their prenatal care and using substances and poor nutrition in the pregnancy. But postpartum depression itself could also cause the child to develop with a lower IQ, to experience language delays, slower language development, you know, being more distractible in childhood, behavioral disturbances. You know, mothers who have postpartum depression, they were less likely to use safety devices in the early period. They were less likely to engage in healthy child developmental practices. And again, there's a risk of suicide and infanticide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything that we can do to prevent, like, apart from education, you know, and trying to make the public aware, what would you say are some of the effective preventive measures, Dr. Nana?
Yeah, so there are a number of measures before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and after pregnancy, which could help to decrease your risk of developing postpartum depression. So one study showed that mothers who learn soothing practices and sleep-promoting methods for their babies, that they had a lower rate of postpartum depression. And this could be related to, you know, having more confidence, less anxiety, and getting adequate sleep. So if they could have a system where they have support from the family and from their spouse, where they take shifts at night so they could get at least 4 hours of sleep, so, you know, the family could assist with the nighttime feeding. You know, a big risk factor is if you had depression before in this pregnancy, or prior pregnancy, or depression outside of the pregnancy. So if it's possible to talk to your healthcare provider and plan the pregnancy in advance, so you could have the discussion with your healthcare provider of whether you should be on psychiatric medications during the pregnancy or even to start after delivery. Establishing a strong support system is very helpful during the pregnancy to prioritize self-care. Eat a balanced diet, regular physical activity, getting enough rest, engaging in stress reduction techniques. So, you know, taking up mindfulness, meditation, deep breathing exercises, attending prenatal classes, again, to increase your confidence, to educate yourself about childbirth and parenting. And this helps to decrease the anxiety that you would feel following delivery. Having important discussions with your partner related to the expectations and the fears and the responsibilities related to parenthood. After delivery, again, prioritizing rest, nutrition, still engaging in activities that you enjoy, maintaining your social connections and seeking out support groups. You know, it's very important, as you was discussing, that, you know, everybody thinks that this is just a joyous occasion, but it's a very trying time. You know, you lack sleep, there's a lot of adjustments. So set realistic expectations, you know, understand that it's normal to feel overwhelmed and it's okay to ask for help. You know, a lot of mothers have difficulty with breastfeeding. So seeking breastfeeding support when you encounter difficulties, which could contribute to stress and postpartum depression. And, you know, seeking professional help, you know, therapy, engaging in hobbies that promote fulfillment and relaxation, all these things help to build mental resilience to help to decrease your risk of developing postpartum depression.
Yes, yeah, certainly. And another thing to consider here in that first 12 months after birth is that, you know, you spoke about how difficult it can be for especially first-time parents or parents alone, but there's also postpartum paternal depression. And I mean, it's something that isn't very common, but I do have, you know, patients coming in after childbirth, and the father as well too starts to say, look, this it's affecting their sleep patterns, their ability, particularly when it's coupled with lack of support and things like that. So, you know, in households, while maternal postpartum depression is much more prevalent because of the hormonal changes and so many physiological and physical changes, we also have to look consider as well too, postpartum depression can occur in the males and in the fathers as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we also see it in clinic because, you know, being a new father, you would lack sleep. There's a lot of adjustments, and they don't really have anything in place for, like, you know, we have maternity leave. You know, they would have to apply for formal vacation. And there's also a lack of support groups as well, and raising awareness about paternal depression following delivery. So yeah, it's a very important topic, and, you know, a lot of these symptoms that occur in women could also occur in men, and, you know, it's important for them to know that, you know, it's normal to feel overwhelmed, it's okay, it's not a personal flaw, you know, it doesn't decrease your manliness in any way, and, you know, where to seek help, and it's something that's also treatable for them with counseling, speaking to a healthcare provider, with a therapist.
Yeah. So seeing that we went through, like, you know, the signs and symptoms, the causes, we just talked about postpartum depression and baby blues, how does one then go about, you know, getting assessed or being diagnosed, and then what are the treatment options? Is there treatment options for this, Diana?
Yeah, definitely. So usually following delivery, if the depression wasn't picked up during delivery or during the antenatal visits, there's usually a postpartum visit, a wellness check, and there are various health centers and psychiatric wellness clinics throughout the country. And postpartum depression is diagnosed by a healthcare professional. So it involves doing a full history, a physical exam, a mental status examination. This is just a test that a psychiatrist or any general practitioner could do as well, asking specific questions about your mental health and assessing your cognition. They may also perform lab tests to rule out medical conditions that can mimic depression. So things like anemia, thyroid disease, vitamin deficiencies, infections, and they also do objective screening tests as well to help to solidify the diagnosis. It's not just a subjective assessment, but you also have an objective assessment of this as well. And treatment consists of, again, letting the patient know that, you know, this is a very treatable condition. It's something that they should not feel ashamed of, because if left untreated, it could usually go on for months or even years. And the treatment for postpartum depression consists of counseling, but you must also have the discussion with your healthcare provider about psychiatric medication. And in this case, it's important to talk to your healthcare provider about breastfeeding, because a lot of the medications used, you need to have that discussion with your healthcare provider about the implications with breastfeeding.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I don't know if we have any questions or any calls are coming in for on this topic.
Yes,
but that
we do have a question. Yeah, a question.
Sure.
A question: if a mother smokes or drinks alcohol during pregnancy, how does this affect the newborn baby?
Certainly. So, well, I can talk about the smoking, or you can do the alcohol board, but these both smoking and alcohol, as we spoke about, I believe, Monday, can have detrimental effects on both the mother and the newborn. But particularly for the newborn, smoking in pregnancy increases the risk of, miscarriages, and also low weight at childbirth. So you find that it impairs there's a higher risk of these things happening as well too. And then smoking, not just during pregnancy, but after pregnancy as well too, secondhand smoke, there's a higher risk of sudden infant death syndrome in that postpartum period for our young ones. But alcohol actually though is much more severe effects on the newborn or the child in the prenatal period. And Dr. Nanan, you may share some of those effects that alcohol abuse or misuse may have on the newborn.
Yeah, so during the pregnancy, there's also the risk of spontaneous miscarriage, birth defects. Is also associated with fetal alcohol syndrome, having a child with a lower IQ with developmental delays, neurodevelopmental conditions later on in life. There are associations with things like with autism and ADHD. Those are just some of the documented risks with using alcohol in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, it's like we can't quantify how much is a safe amount at all. So that's why you generally hear your family doctors and your obstetricians telling you avoid any alcohol use or smoking during pregnancy, particularly in that prenatal stage, because this can affect the pregnancy at any point in time, affects organ development, brain development, and it's like we use the word spectrum. It's no longer like a black and white sort of thing. It's always where in a spectrum of things fall. So it's very severe to the point where it can cause death of the infant in terms of that fetal alcohol syndrome or spectrum disorders, as we call it. And it's associated with things like cleft lip and birth defects, as Dr. Nanan was saying. So definitely alcohol and tobacco are two drugs that we definitely strongly recommend to avoid during the pregnancy period, as well as in the postpartum period as well.
Yeah, and with breastfeeding as well, if a mother's breastfeeding, the chemicals and the cigarette smoke and the alcohol could pass on to the baby, and again could cause a lot of short-term and long-term consequences.
Certainly. Right, that definitely was a good question.
Another question coming in here. Does postpartum only affect young mothers?
No, postpartum depression, because there's no definite cause. So, being a young mother, being unprepared, lack of familial support, lack of spousal support, that would contribute to a young mother being more likely to develop postpartum depression. But a mother at any age could experience postpartum depression.
All right. And again, is this something that you can detect way before pregnancy?
So because with postpartum depression, it's usually a subjective complaint at first. So usually the mother experiencing the symptoms that we had discussed, feeling depressed, losing interest, problems with their sleep, their appetite, problems with their concentration, or with the relative noticing these changes, is not something that you could predict will happen. It's usually a complaint that the person might experience, but definitely if someone has depression before, family history of depression, or had postpartum depression in a previous pregnancy, there's a higher risk of developing depression in a subsequent pregnancy and after delivery.
And certainly the support system too, Bas, is very important, because look, when I feel so there's a sense of joy within me when I see parents coming together at the prenatal visits. So the mother and the father are there And you can see that preparation is taking place, you know, not just the mothers, but the fathers are also involved in learning, like, all right, how can I make the environment supportive? Come to the Lamaze classes, you know, put things in place. So it's a planned, you know, it may not be a planned pregnancy, that happens often, but then there's a planning now during this period to prepare and to perform, to provide support for loved ones and those things there. So certainly those are things we can do to help before.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Well, we need to take a break and we come back with more. Remember, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 and Sky 99.5. LSA Healthcare Services Limited is a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hands-washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel, hand jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner for hygiene solutions. Also, exciting times ahead at the Caribbean Investment Forum 2024, live from Georgetown, Guyana. Join Freedom 106.5 FM and sister station in Guyana Mix 90.1 FM for coverage updates and highlights with Jody White. Panels featuring international and regional experts will transform the Caribbean, focusing on sustainable agriculture, technology and innovation, and the green economy. Don't miss these insightful discussions from July 10th to the 12th in Guyana. Be part of the transformation right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We're coming back.
TIC is back. The Trade and Investment Convention, July 11th to 13th, 2024 at the Center of Excellence, McCoy, with 300 booths and 150 plus regional and international buyers, including country, missions and representatives of large regional distributors. Business days are 11th and 12th. Consumers are welcome on 13th July. Pre-register for a free entry at www.ttma.com/TIC. At the door is $50. Kids are allowed on the 13th only, and under 12 years old are free. TIC 2024 is sponsored by Ministry of Trade, Exim Bank, TSTT, Balroops Group, official media partners, Guardian Media Limited, and Freedom 106.5 FM.
All right, yeah, we return 70 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Another question coming in here. Does diet, does it shows any studies show that diet has anything to do with postpartum depression?
I didn't come across any particular studies with a diet, like whether it's like a Western diet, but for sure nutritional deficiencies like iron, B12, folate, vitamin D, you know, all contribute to development of depression. These things could also mimic depression. And certainly if someone has these nutritional deficiencies and they deliver a baby, the delivery itself could worsen the depression that they would feel due to nutritional deficiencies. So of course, like, this is why mothers, not just for, you know, proper development of the baby and the baby's spine and all of that, but another reason why it's important to take your prenatal vitamins, your iron and your folic acid, and just in overall maintain a healthy diet, a balanced diet, low processed foods, processed sugars, refined grains, because having conditions in pregnancy like diabetes, hypertension, metabolic syndrome could again affect the mental health of the mother, could affect the baby's development, linked to various birth defects, which again all contribute to postpartum depression if the mother had a difficult pregnancy and a difficult delivery. So yes, directly and indirectly, diet could affect the development of postpartum depression.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Dr. Nanan, so what we do in that, you know, wellness check that we see our mothers, and even before, we try to give them some practical tips in preparing, because, you know, it's very difficult. You have literally a baby on your hands, and to try and think about your next meal. So what we do recommend is things like preparing larger quantities of meal, so you can package them and store them so that they can be quickly, you know, put together. You have things kind of prepared where you plan your meals in ahead. That look, you know what, you have your veggies, you have some fruits, you have your carbohydrates and your proteins, and you get that sort of balanced diet as well too. And healthy snacks, you know, we think of snacks. When you hear the word snacks, everybody immediately think of highly processed sugary foods. But we have to change that dynamic in that, look, snacks can be things like nuts and fruits and a little yogurts and a little crackers, whole grain crackers, for those little quick energy boosts that we will need. Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, that's it for the questions for now. So guys, could go ahead. Oh, sorry. I muted myself. Yes, that's it for the questions for now. So you guys can go ahead.
Sure, sure. Right. You know, so Dr. Nanan, you know, this is depression, right, that we're talking about. It is a diagnosis. Any general comments about this, like, you know, depression on the whole, you know, what it is like, you know, and is it something that is completely different? Is it only like, you know, more in the postpartum period? But what's your thoughts on depression on the whole as a psychiatrist?
Well, you know, depression is one of the leading causes of disability worldwide. It's very common, it's very treatable. No one knows the exact cause because of the burden that this could have on the person, their family, the economy. Is very important to have it treated. It's important to know about all the different places you could get help and, you know, the different things that we could do to mitigate the risk and what we could do on our own, you know, healthy practices, diet, exercise, engaging in therapy, mindfulness, you know, especially like the fact that, you know, if you have depression now, you know, it would increase your chance of developing depression in pregnancy and in the postpartum period. You know, it's important to raise awareness of it, to let mothers know that it's okay to feel sad, to feel anxious, to feel overwhelmed following delivery. And, you know, accepting those feelings is the first step, you know, not to feel guilty, not to feel ashamed. Postpartum depression is a medical condition, right? And I said medical condition is not your fault. It's not a personal flaw. So don't hesitate to seek professional help, to explore therapy and, you know, various medication options available, reaching out for support from friends and family, joining online or local support groups, you know, during pregnancy and after delivery, to prioritize rest and sleep, you know, sleep when the baby sleeps, and don't hesitate to ask for help and assistance with nighttime feeding. Setting realistic goals for yourself, like focusing on small, manageable tasks, avoiding self-criticism, and making time for hobbies and activities. You know, for the family members to know how they could support mothers, as you're saying, to regularly check in on them. You know, raising awareness and learning about postpartum depression, the symptoms, the treatment, and the causes, to better be able to support your loved ones. You know, recognize the symptoms early and encourage treatment. Being a supportive listener, helping out with daily activities, chores, you know, taking care of the child to help to lessen the load. So this could provide the mother with, you know, a chance to rest or engage in self-care activities. You know, not everyone, as you were saying, has spousal support or family support. But, you know, there are still effective ways that they could manage and overcome postpartum depression. They could build a supportive network that consists of healthcare providers, their therapists, counselors, online and local support groups. You know, these support groups are very helpful because they offer emotional support, a lot of practical advice from other mothers who are experiencing similar challenges. You know, in the different communities, we have community centers. There are different nonprofit organizations, so that could be of assistance. You know, in Trinidad, we have the Global Network for the Advancement of Single Mothers. You know, simple things like prioritizing self-care, creating a daily routine to help them build structure and add stability to their day, engaging in stress reduction techniques. You know, and other things like looking into affordable healthcare services to give them time to rest and take care of their own needs. You know, for some, there are government assistance programs, and to have something called an emergency plan. You know, when you're having a mental health crisis, to know who to contact. You know, there are various hotlines throughout Trinidad and local emergency services.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, having that plan is also important, not just for your mental health, but a safety plan is always important for mothers and for women, because, you know, violence and gender-based violence is something very common and prevalent as well. So for all women out there, it's always good to have that safety sort of plan in terms of, you know, your health, in terms of your mood, your mental health, as well as your physical health. And, you know, generally, I just want to leave too with the general public that, some, you know, in Trinidad, we say flour more than water, that things can become overwhelming in life. You know, there's so many things that we do that are very stressful, from jobs, having a new baby, you know, so many things. And then things that we can't plan for happens, and we may lose a loved one, all these things. And it can become overwhelming, and it can affect our mood. And we can go through these prolonged periods of feeling kind of down, losing interest in our activities. And sometimes a lot of us, we play it off as our physical symptoms, like feeling just tired all the time, lack of energy. You know, you feel like your appetite and weight and stuff is just off, and your sleeping is just off. And you're just thinking, well, you're just not feeling well, and it's physically affecting you, like symptoms like these body pains and aches and things like that. And sometimes we need to sit and see the link between our mental health and how it impacts our actual physical health. So depression is something that, as Dr. Nanan was saying, it is like one of the leading causes of, you know, disabilities in terms of functioning and productivity. And I want to implore and urge everyone out there listening that if you really find that you are having these emotional, physical symptoms and cognitive symptoms, like, you know, difficulty concentrating and stuff like that, to reach out and speak to a healthcare professional, a psychologist, a family doctor, a psychiatrist. Just walk into any of these centers and you will get the help that you need. Sometimes you need that little support, and it often comes in a lot of psychosocial support, meaning that not always only medication is the only treatment for depression. But there's also non-pharmacotherapy options as well, or a combination of both. So there are things like Dr. Nana was repeatedly mentioning, you know, therapy, talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, interpersonal therapy. But in our lives, we find things to take that edge off, the stress off, that are not harmful to us, getting involved in social activities in our communities, getting back involved in our faith-based organizations or community groups. These are so important to our mental health, and these are the things that sort of pick us up or gives us that little support when things become overwhelming in life, things that don't go planned so often. And these things, having these healthy mental habits, are so important in preventing this from becoming something that can cause us physical and mental harm.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, just having something as simple as a routine, you know, adding structure and stability to your day, you know, will also help to decrease anxiety overall, because, you know, these simple daily things that we do could have like long-term consequences just by, you know, simple things like changing your eating habits, exercising, you know, getting help for conflict resolution, managing your stress, you know, building your resilience. And in this case with mothers, it won't just affect you, it will also affect your child's development and, you know, long-term sequelae, because, you know, there's also a link with children who grow up with mothers who are depressed, and, you know, they later on develop mental illness, and, you know, cycle will just continue.
Yeah, certainly. And I can talk about that daily routine thing, how important that is. And when my daily routine is off, Dr. Nanan, my whole day is off. Like, you know, I feel like I like things are missing and things like that. And it's so important that we get that physical activity, things like meditation, mindfulness. And when there's that structure, you know, you have something to fall into, you have something to turn to, you know, that, look, you know what, waking up in the morning with that sense of gratitude that, look, 8 million people around the world died and we were given the gift of being alive this morning. And these are the things that slowly you create this lifestyle routine that is very preventive, not just for physical health, but your mental health as well.
Yeah, like definitely, you know, it's not something that's common knowledge. It's not something that, you know, most people would have learned in school. But, you know, just by having a structure, you know, you wake up, I say with gratitude, things like writing on a gratitude journal, a hope journal, could just help to turn around your day, you know, instead of one bad event making your whole day spiral. And again, you know, could have like consequences for the other days. You know, you're able to turn your day around and have like a completely different day, depending again on how you manage that stress.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So just to confirm if there's any other questions and stuff like that, but you know, today we really spoke about postpartum depression, and we touched on baby blues as well. And we just, you know, generally spoke about unipolar depression and these mental health challenges that so many persons face in around us, and how we can identify, how we can seek help, and how we can manage and prevent this postpartum depression. So, Dr. Nanan, any you know, final or closing remarks and stuff?
Yeah, I hope this session was helpful and informative and could be a source of support for anybody experiencing the symptoms, as well as for relatives to be able to recognize the symptoms and encourage people to go get help. And for anybody just wanting more information, you know, you could find help in Trinidad and Tobago by accessing the Ministry of Health website, you know, www.health.gov.tt. You know, on this website, you could find all the different mental health clinics and local health centers throughout Trinidad. And, you know, they could put you on the track to get the help that you seek, whether it's seeing a counselor, a social worker, to a doctor, to a psychiatrist. There are various hotlines that people could access. You know, there's Lifeline, there's Families in Action, there's Groots Trinidad and Tobago, which is a 24-hour helpline. There's RN Vincent and Associates, which is a 24-hour free phone line and also text messaging. And again, the Global Network for Advancement of Single Mothers in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I hope that as well this brought some insight to the listening public, and we learned a thing or two today and on this very, very important topic. And it's not just for our new our mothers, for the future generation, but for all of us to really reflect on our mental health, and are we really making the connection between our mental health and our physical health, and are we living our, you know, most optimum life to the best of our abilities? And sometimes it's okay to reach out, lift a hand up and say, look, I need some help, you know, and I want to get help. And that first step is so, so important. Recognizing that, look, things are overwhelming and I need some support and I need some help. And there's so much strength and admiration for individuals who are able to do that, rather than, you know, persons having that sort of waiting until things become very, very problematic and chaotic. It's very important that we urge you that the healthcare systems and healthcare professionals are designed and trained to lend that support, and we are very accommodating and ready to listen to your story and to helping these individuals there. So we want to wish everyone the best, particularly your first-time mothers and mothers in their pregnancies as well too, and to that hope that this session did raise some awareness at least and provide some information that is useful.
Thank you.
All right, thank you there.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much, guys. Very much, very much, very much. Of course, you've been listening to another edition of The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.